Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
We're several weeks into a series titled Say No to Grow. Now, there's a concept that at times to expedite your spiritual journey, your faith journey, it's a good thing to say no to certain things that aren't good or bad, just things, either good or bad, so that you can grow in your faith. And so we're doing that. And this Say No to Grow series coincides with the church calendar season known as Lent. Lent has historically been a time that the church has given over to preparing itself to celebrate Easter, because what happens in life is life gets busy and you hustle and you bustle, and if you don't slow down and take the time to prepare, Easter could sneak up on you and you're like, whoa, Easter's here already. So Lent is the time that we all just take a moment, slow down, and remember what Easter is about. And so we're taking the time to say no, that we can grow this Lenten season. And so a few weeks ago, I introduced to you our assignment, Come March 1, which happens to be Tuesday. Are you all ready for March 1? Well, ready or not, it's coming. March 1 through Easter Sunday, March 27, those of us for whom this is our church home, we're being called into a season of fasting to go along with the series Say No to Grow, to go along with the season of preparation called Lent. March 1 is our time of fasting. And so if you feel the need to go crazy, you have a day and a half to do so, because fasting is coming. And a couple weeks ago, I gave you some tips for fasting, and I've got four of them that I want to give to you today. Tip for fasting, number one, invite a friend. I'm just going to predict right now, especially if you're giving up some food items for the fast throughout March, you're going to get grumpy. And I'm going to tell you right now that you're going to get angry and you're going to be sick of this and you're going to be cursing me in your heart. What was that bald idiot doing calling us to do this thing? And you're going to be very just disconcerted with your life. But if you have a friend who is going through the same thing that you're going through, you could call him or her and say, I am mad, I'm grumpy, I want a cheeseburger, I want something, I am, and that person can talk you off the ledge, or can talk you off the ledge and go off the ledge with you. But it's better to do it with a friend. So here's what the Bible says. It says, two are better than one. This is from the book of Ecclesiastes. For two have good return for their work. If one falls down and has no one to help him up, pity that one. But if one falls down and has someone to help him up, he can be helped up. But pity the one who goes alone. Two are better than one. Invite a friend. So I'm wondering right now if you know who you're going to invite, and it might be somebody you're sitting right next to join you in this journey of fasting. Tip number two, prepare accordingly. In the New Testament book of Google, there's all kinds of help for you. Here's the deal. A few weeks ago, I talked about the different types of biblical fasting, and then I talked about the broader principle of fasting, and I encouraged you to find the fast that God is calling you to. I don't feel it's my job this time to tell you this is how we are all fasting. I feel that my job is to say we're all fasting, and it's up to you to find the fast that fits you, where you're at, and where God is calling you to. So if you're waiting for me to assign a particular fast for you, wait no further, because it's not my job to assign you the type of fast. It's my job to assign the fast, and you figure it out. Is that clear so far? And so figure out the type of fast you want. And if you didn't hear that teaching on fasting a few weeks ago, go to our website, theriver.info, listen to the teaching, and just come up with the Lord's help what fast is right for you, and then go to Google, right? You all know Google. It's unbelievably helpful. If you're doing a Daniel fast, type in Daniel fast and read all those helpful things. If you're doing another type of fast, type it in and let Google help you. The thing is, it's good to be prepared. So prepare accordingly. Don't wait until Tuesday afternoon to like, oh yeah, I'm fasting today. What are we going to do? Prepare today and tomorrow for the fast that is to come. Do you understand, church? Tip number three.
Don't look somber. I've already told you it's going to be difficult at times. And our propensity is to want to garner pity and everybody feel bad for us. So everybody, let me see your sad look right now. Just get it out of the way. Because come March 1, I want you to do what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. He says, when you fast, remember, not if you fast, but when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. So let me see your somber look, everybody. Yeah, don't look that way. Some of you look that way normally. Well, then you get over it.
Don't look that way, Jesus says. Do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they're fasting. Look at me, I'm fasting. Aren't I holy? Truly, I tell you, Jesus says, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, not if, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, so that it won't be obvious to others that you're fasting. Now, here's the deal. We're a part of a church-wide fast. It's going to be obvious to us that we're fasting, but for others, it ought not be obvious because there ought to be the joy of the Lord all over your face. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that it will not be obvious that to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. All right? So prepare right now for the difficult days that are coming ahead and expect the fruit that comes from the saying no that you might grow, and do not look somber. So if you need to go to the mirror this day and practice your non-somber look, do it. You know, I got this one tattoo right here. It reminds me of Proverbs 15. It's a happy-looking guy. It says, a joyful look. Let me see your joyful looks. That's a good one. A joyful look brings joy to the soul. A joyful look, a cheerful look brings joy to the soul. Work on your cheerful look. I got that tattoo because sometimes people say I frown too much, especially when I'm fasting. So maybe you need to get a similar tattoo of a happy-looking guy on your arm so that it can remind you that a cheerful look brings joy to the soul. Everybody, turn to your neighbor and show them your cheerful look. If you're a visitor, please, I'm so sorry. Last fasting tip before we get at the fast. Fasting tip number four. You got this? Schedule prayer. Right now, get in your calendar and schedule prayer every single day for 27 days, okay? Because if you're not praying while fasting, you're just dieting, and this is not a church-wide diet session, okay? We're not doing Weight Watchers here. We're not trying to get thin. We're not doing any of that stuff. We're not dieting as a church. Is that clear? And if you're fasting without praying, you're just dieting, and that is not the point. So right now, get your calendar, well, not right now, but as soon as you go home, get your calendars out and schedule daily times to pray because you need to be in prayer while fasting. Do you understand? Are we dieting? I don't know if you're sure about this. Are we dieting? Then what makes it clear that we're not just dieting? Say it like you mean it. Speaking of prayer, that leads us into the topic of the day. The series is Say No to Grow, and I just want to let you know what the original plan was. The original plan is that last week's sermon time was supposed to be given to next week. Next week's sermon time was supposed to be given last week. And today's teaching time was supposed to be today. Because last week and today, I was going to give to you three components of this larger thing called prayer that would help us walk into the season of fasting. But last week, due to the crazy and horrific events in Kalamazoo. We moved next week's prayer time to last week, where you all gathered in circles and prayed, and you did a phenomenal job. And I was boasting in the Lord to people outside of this church about this church, how you folks just came together quickly, naturally, fought through discomfort, and prayed. Way to go. So now I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, ipso facto. It means after the fact. Now, after the fact that we have prayed as a church, I'm going to equip you to do what you've already done. I'm going to give you three components of prayer that you can take with you through the month of March. Today, I'm going to give you two. Next week, I'm going to give you one. Here is the first component of prayer. But before I give you the first component, I just want to say one thing about prayer. It's a good idea. Do you agree? Yes. Actually, I'm going to say two things about it. It's a very good idea. If you think prayer is a good idea, just raise your hand, right? Yeah. See, I would agree with you because I remember in my early days as an ordained pastor and preacher, I preached several sermons on the need to pray because it's a good idea. Like flossing and eating all your vegetables. These are good ideas. Do you disagree? Those are good ideas, right? Yeah. But good ideas are often difficult to translate to everyday activity, right? So prayer is a good idea, but it's an incredibly difficult thing to do. And I wonder, it is a difficult thing to do. Is this true? No one would say to you, prayer is stupid in this church, I'm hoping, but it's difficult to enact because sometimes when you pray, it feels fruitless, it feels restless, it feels pointless, you're not sure what's going on, but it's often difficult to get at. So I remember early in my preaching days, I would preach about prayer and the need to be a person of prayer and be a person who rarely prayed. Do you get this? I mean, I knew in my heart of hearts that I should be praying, and man, I would try at times. I would try hard to pray, but I would just fall asleep if I tried to do it early, or get distracted if I tried to do it late, or just forget because there's a million other more compelling things to do than actual prayer. Praying is difficult, and so it fits very firmly in this say no to grow series, because in order for us to become people who pray, we need to be people who say no to other things so that we can be people who say yes to pray. Now, Proverbs 6:6 is very influential in my life. I'm going to get to the topic in a minute, but I want to give you my struggles with prayer. It was the year 2002. That's 14 years ago. I was employed at Western Michigan University as a chaplain doing a ministry over there on campus called The Gathering. Is anybody in the room who was a part of The Gathering back then? I know you two were. Oh yeah, you were. I remember pole vaulting, yep. I remember you in your candy stripe suit playing guitar. Do you remember those days? I remember you two before you even knew each other. Do you remember that? And you met at The Gathering? So you owe it all to me, right? That's not true. So The Gathering was a fun thing. Hanging out with college students back in the day. I had hair back then, so it was one of my favorite seasons of life. It was just beautiful. And I didn't have hair. Maybe I lost hair even before college ministry. Okay, so it wasn't as awesome as I thought it was. So what would happen is we worked on the college schedule, so when Christmas break came and students went home, well, we had Christmas break off too. And so Christmas break of 2002, I made a decision that I was going to stick to no matter what. For the entire Christmas break of 2002, I was going to actually be a person who did what I preached about. That's always a good thing to try to do, by the way. I told myself, I am going to, every single day of Christmas break for 2002, I am going to be someone who prays every day. It doesn't have to be long, but it has to be sometime every day for Christmas break 2002. I'm going to pray. And so I did every single day for Christmas break of 2002. I found time with the Lord. While praying during that Christmas break 2002, the Lord whispered to me Proverbs 6:6. Proverbs 6:6 says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. And that's Bible proverb talk for saying, hey, ants are smart because they do the important things first. They work hard now to prepare for the season later. They don't let laziness take over. They don't get distracted with other things. They do the work that's needed now to prepare for tomorrow. So the Lord was whispering Proverbs 6:6 in my ear. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. And with that, he whispered to me, he just impressed upon me that the year 2003 would be the year of the ant for me, connected to this concept of prayer. During that time of prayer, Christmas break 2002, the Lord said, I want every day in 2003 to be a day that you follow the word or the work of an ant, that you get busy at prayer. You don't get lazy in prayer. Every day, 2003, I want you to pray. It's going to be the year of the ant for you. And in my quiet time, I'm writing out in a journal, the Lord said, I want you to leave campus ministry and I want you to start a church in the downtown area of Kalamazoo. So here's what I wonder. I wonder if we would be here had a season of committed prayer not taken place in my life. Y'all hear this? Do y'all hear this? So here's the next question I'm wondering. I'm wondering what is about ready to happen in your life that is contingent upon your commitment to prayer. I think there are some pretty cool things in your future that will come to you in clarity, but only when you do this work of the ant and become a person who prays. So I'm wondering if the rest of this year needs to be the year of the ant for you, where you do the work of prayer in your life, because there's things that the Lord wants to reveal to you that can only come to you when you become somebody who's committed to the concept of prayer. Not just a mental acquiescence, yes, it's a good idea, but somebody who does the hard work of saying no to the things in life that pull you from prayer so that you can grow into a person who prays. And so it's not rocket scientist. This prayer thing, it's not difficult to comprehend. It's just you talking to God. That's all it is. And although it's not rocket scientist, it might be more difficult than rocket science because it's hard to get to. So here, I'm going to challenge you right now. If this is your church home, if you're a visitor, I'm just talking, right? You can just listen to all of this stuff. But if this is your church home, I really want to challenge you for 27 days, starting Tuesday. I want you to pray every single day. Every single day. It doesn't have to be long, just sometime every single day. It doesn't have to be early, doesn't have to be late, doesn't matter when or how long, but sometime every single day through the rest of Lent, starting Tuesday, while we are fasting, I want you to be somebody who prays, and I want you to see what happens in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. So let me give you two of the three aspects of prayer. It's not rocket science. You'll get this. The Apostle Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 6, introducing one of the three aspects of prayer, he says, pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. In asking the people to pray for him, he's introducing the component of prayer known as, are you ready for this? Nobody's ready for this. Maybe my inflection wasn't good enough. Are you ready for this? There we go. How about you in the balcony? Are you ready for this? Balcony? The component of prayer that the Apostle Paul introduces to us when he asks the people to pray for him is the component known as intercession. Say intercession. Say it like you mean it. The more you participate in the teaching, the more it will sink into your head and you'll own it. Say intercession. By definition, intercession is praying for other people. So the Apostle Paul, when he says, pray for me, was inviting the people to intercede on his behalf. And so I just told you I got a 27-day challenge for you to pray. I want you in 27 days, for 27 days, to pray for people. So maybe as soon as you leave this service, you need to bust out a journal, a piece of paper, an iPad, something, and list the people that you're going to be praying for. Because I guarantee you there are people in your life who are needing your prayers. So who are you going to pray for? You see, the beauty of intercessory prayer, the one of three components I'm going to be teaching on, is that it takes a narcissistic person, somebody who's prone to think of themselves. Is that just me, right? Rod called me out. I'm not humble. He said that earlier. Is that just me, or does anybody else have a tendency to only worry about their own stuff? Anybody? Okay, there's about eight honest people in here. Come on now. See, our tendency is just to get caught up in our own stuff. But what intercession does is it lifts our head and it helps us see people. It helps us see people. We see this concept also in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. You see, God himself, the Holy Spirit, will intercede for us. And when the Apostle Paul asks people to pray for him, and when he talks about the Spirit interceding for us, he's laying out a model of prayer that we should walk into, and that is interceding for others. Jesus would say in Luke chapter 22, where Jesus would say, I have prayed for you, Simon. Intercession. We see in the book of Acts, the disciples prayed for new believers. They prayed for new believers, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. There's a concept that's powerful that is waiting to be unleashed by you. This is not rhetorical. It might be in the moment, but it's a question that begs you to answer. Who will you be praying for? Get a journal. Bust out your iPad. Use your phone. Who will you be praying for? Now, the specifics I will have to leave anonymous to protect the not innocent. There was an incident in our home, I don't know if you remember this, Christy, a while back, when one of our children was caught in a lie. And I'm sure none of your children have ever done that, right? You'll have to just imagine. Liar. Christy and I knew that the particular child had lied, but we couldn't prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Have you ever been there, moms and dads, where you know that that sucker's lying, but you can't prove it, and so you can't just, you're lying. Or how many of you know you've been caught in a lie, but they can't prove it, but you continue to lie just to hold on? Has anybody been on that end of it? Okay, thank you. Way to be. Moms and dads, you've been there too, right? And so what we did is Christy and I, we prayed for this particular child. We interceded that the Spirit of the Lord would bring conviction to the heart of this young boy or young girl. And so we prayed. And after the first day of prayer, that child continued to lie. We prayed a little more. So after the second day, this is awesome. You know what the kid did? Continued to lie. But after 3 or 4 days of prayer, the child at hand came to Christina and said, yeah, I did it. It was me. And I remember vividly saying to the child, I know it was you. And we prayed that you'd be convicted. Because you can't hide from the Holy Spirit. To be sure, your sins will find you out. Now, there's grace, and we continued a road of restoration. I'm wondering what would have happened had a mother and a father not prayed for the child. The child would have felt affirmed in the lying that they can get away with lying. And I'm wondering who needs your prayers and the power that comes after you pray. We had another child. He, that narrows it down to three for you, was incredibly nervous to start kindergarten. Do you remember this? And so we took the whole month of August leading up to school, praying that this son of ours would find a buddy. We interceded on his behalf and just said, Lord, would you do something for this really nervous little boy to bring a buddy? And so we go, you know, that day when you go and you see on the teacher's door, you know, who's got what kid and who's in the class. And we're at the door where this kid was, and we're reading the names, and oh, there's his name. And so we say, Link. And the guy next to me says, Link, did you go to Gwynn High School and graduate in 1989? And I turn to this guy, and I'm like, yeah, I did. And he goes, hey, I'm 5 years younger than you, and I was the ball boy on the basketball team that you played on. And this is my son who's in your son's class. Well, I might narrow it down a little bit more. When I tell you that kindergartner is now graduating from high school this year and has been bosom buddies with that boy for 13 years. It's awesome. What would have happened had a mother and a father not interceded for the son? Conversely, what will happen when you pray for the people in your life this month as you become people who intercede for others? Intercession. I could talk to you about our service last week, which was a model of intercession. Y'all did a great job. Way to go. I could talk to you about the service that Dory kind of led at Cracker Barrel on Tuesday. Dory and her husband were at Cracker Barrel on Monday and literally were the only two people in the entire establishment. And they said to themselves, this is wrong that a business in our community suffers because of some sinful, broken thing. And so she got on Facebook, and literally the next night, hundreds of people showed up at Cracker Barrel. 8 different news stations were interviewing Dory because somebody saw a need and engaged in it. And hundreds of people in the parking lot of Cracker Barrel interceded for the community and for the business to flourish. I could tell you that story. That's pretty awesome. The general manager walked by. Barkley and I were out just saying hi to people. She came over to say hi to Barkley, and I said, hey, I know Dory. I'm friends of Dory, a friend of Dory. And she got tears in her eyes and said, I am so thankful that your church and the people are here to pray for us. When you intercede, things happen. So who are you going to pray for the next 27 days? I'm also going to remind you that right here at 9, 9, 1, and 9, Tuesdays at 9, Wednesdays at 9, Thursdays at 1, and Fridays at 9, the staff of the church gathers here to pray for everybody who puts a prayer request in this bucket or the bucket back there on that table. So if you have a thing you need prayer for, put it in the bucket, and we will pray for you at least twice during the week because we're committed to this concept of intercessory prayer. And I'm going to invite some of you to come join us right here. And you might be saying to yourself, well, I don't know how to pray out loud. Well, you did last week. You did fine. You just don't know. You think you don't know how to pray out loud, but you're doing good at it. Intercessory prayer. Who will you pray for? Well, that's 33% of the topic of prayer. I got another 33% to get at today, and then the next, last 33% next week. Here we go. Jesus himself would say in Matthew chapter 7. Are you ready for the next one? Yes. It's not rocket science, but it's difficult. And the difficulty isn't in the comprehending. The difficulty is in the doing. Somebody say, you got to do it. James would say, half Jesus' brother in the book of James, don't merely be hearers of the word. Don't just listen to what I'm saying. If you're just listening to what I'm saying, thinking, okay, conceptually that's nice, you're wasting time. He says, don't merely be hearers of the word who deceive themselves, but be doers of the word. If you just hear what is being taught, you're living a deceptive life thinking, yeah, I got it going on because I heard a good message. It ain't about hearing a good message. It's about doing what the message asks to do. So intercede, and then this one. Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 7, ask. Well, there it is. Ask. And so the second principle or concept or component of prayer is asking. Ask, and you'll receive. Jesus goes on, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks will find, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. So ask. And then he goes on to say, right there in Matthew 7, for which of you, if your children asks for fish, would give him a snake? And which of you, if your child asks for bread, would give him a stone? Jesus says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more does your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask? So ask. Ask. Now, I want to separate asking from intercession, because intercession is for others. Asking is for yourself. And you notice I put intercession first because we do have a tendency to only focus on ourselves. Once you intercede for others, it's very good to ask for yourself, because God cares for you and tells you to cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. There ain't nothing wrong about asking for yourself. So ask and you'll receive. I remember it was late last year. It was right after my mother had died. I was really down and I was really low. And I know the Lord knows me. And have you ever read that book, The Five Love Languages? Anybody read that book, The Five Love? If you're married and you haven't read it, what's the matter with you? You got to read this thing. Come on. It talks about there's different ways people feel love. My number one way is gifts. I just feel love when I receive a gift. So I was in my office one morning. I said, Lord, I just feel really down. I don't feel good. Lord, I need a gift. And I feel stupid, but can you give me a gift, Lord? It was a Sunday morning. Came out here, did my thing, didn't want to do my thing. I was kind of bumming out. Went back and went on home. Well, Tuesday when we gathered for staff, maybe it was Anna, I'm not sure. Somebody was back there at the booth cleaning up stuff Tuesday from Sunday morning. And back there at that booth, there was a card that said Rob on it. And she brought it to me. I think it was Anna. I don't know if it was her for sure. And she goes, hey, here, this was you. And I opened it up and there was a big fat gift card just for me. Isn't that cool? Here's what I want you to hear. There's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven who knows you and is ready to give you that which you ask for. But he might be waiting to give it because he doesn't want the gifts that he has for us to be seen as just commonplace, everyday occurrences. He wants you to connect the gift with the giver. So ask. I remember another time back when I was working on campus, we had this ministry van. It was maroon and it was old and it was nasty. You remember that thing, Corey? I don't know if you were around then. It was donated to us and we used to haul our sound equipment in it, setting up for our Sunday night worship service. And it was very crucial to the ministry to lug stuff around. Well, it broke down one day and we took it to a shop and the guy said, hey man, it's gonna cost a lot of money, but I can do it for $500. I'll just pare it down. $500. Do you guys have $500? He told me like on a Tuesday for $500. I'm like, I don't know. Hang on. Let me just think about this. So I went back and I asked that the Lord would give me a check for $500 to pay for this ministry van. I'm not making this stuff up. Like on Thursday or Friday that week, I got a check in the mail for the ministry for guess how much? Say it. Yeah, it was exactly, right, Gavin? It was exactly what was needed to pay for the repairs on this van that ran for the remaining years that I was on campus. Ask, and you'll receive. Seek, and you'll find. Ask, and you'll receive. So I'm wondering if there's some answered prayer the Lord just has right here ready to dump on you. He's got an answered prayer ready to give you, waiting for the prayer to be asked first. Ask, and you'll receive. Any of you lack wisdom? Well, I'm so glad I'm in a smart room. Does anybody ever wonder what's tomorrow? What am I supposed to do with my future? I mean, I got today. I know what I'm doing today, but what about tomorrow and the days to come? Does anybody find confusion thinking of what to do next? Anybody? So we read in the book of James also, if any of you lacks wisdom, all you need to do is ask. God will give it to you generously and ungrudgingly. All you need to do is ask. Are you in a relationship? You're not sure where it's supposed to go? Are you deciding what college to go in the future? Are you wondering what career to choose? Do you have job opportunities before you? Are you wondering about all kinds of things? Well, just ask. And the Lord will direct your paths. The Lord will direct your paths, but for the direction to come, for the clarity to be there, for the gift to be received, it needs to be preceded by asking. And when we ask in prayer, God's mercies follow. Did y'all hear that? When we ask in prayer, the mercies of the Lord follow. So, intercession, asking. You need to get a journal. You need to write this down on your iPad, your phone, somewhere, but you need to, for 27 days, starting Tuesday, begin to intercede for others and ask for yourself. So the question is, who are you going to pray for? Yeah. Thank you. And what are you going to ask for? So here's the deal. Thank you for the participation. That's good. But I want you to put a little more thought into this, and I want you to answer this the rest of the day. I want you to think about it, because Tuesday's coming. Who are you going to pray for, and what are you going to ask for prayer? Do it. Say no to the things that will distract you from that little part of the day where you're going to pray. Say no so that you can grow and become a person who prays.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.